Welcome back to Directly Current. I'm your host, Max Patton, and on this week, I'm speaking with Dan Krasner. Dan Krasner is the executive director here, not just for EVs for All America, which is what's responsible for our research and education efforts, but also the American EV Jobs Alliance, which has been doing some local advocacy in a very important locality in the US, the great state of California. Now, apartment dwellers in California represent a population in the millions of people. It is bigger than the population of 30 states on their own. And again, that is just apartment dwellers. They face a big hurdle with EV ownership, and that's charging, because getting a charger set up, whether it be a luxury apartment or a low-income family unit, it can be hard all around. There's barriers in regulation, getting units installed, and the management of this, and lots of that are areas where the state code and administrative reform could make things a whole lot easier. And while the state has made some pushes to make this easier, Mike Murphy, our head honcho here, complimented by Dan, have some ideas on a better way to do it. And that's what we're going to discuss in this episode. The advocacy that we're doing on level 2 charging reform in California, specifically to emphasize apartment level 2 charging, which is such a big boon to EV ownership. If you aren't able to charge at home with an EV, you lose one of the major convenience benefits over a gas vehicle. And in a state like California, which still has very ambitious EV adoption goals, this is make or break. I'm really excited to be speaking with Dan on this, so let's cut right into it. All right, welcome on to Directly Current, Dan Krasner, Executive Director here at EVs for All America.
Thank you, Max. Good to be with you.
Yeah, same. So could you introduce, just for listeners who aren't familiar, what your role as Executive Director is, how you keep everything running behind the scenes, and what's been going on with that?
I'm honored to be in a role of helping Mike Murphy with these two incredible organizations that he started. EVs for All America is our 501c3, and American EV Jobs Alliance is our 501c4. Today, we'll talk primarily about EVs for All America, our research education arm, and share some recent research that we've conducted about how renters are viewing EVs and their desire to have charging at home.
Yeah, and this is research that's been featured, obviously. It's on our website. We'll link the resources there, but also Politico has done a pretty good write-up on this issue. It's been featured in one of their newsletters as well. This idea of apartments being the next frontier, or kind of a hurdle for EV charging to overcome. So before we get into the fine print on that, can you just articulate that issue? Like, why it is that for people in apartments, EVs right now are a tough question, particularly like in California, where it may be hard to build charging?
Absolutely. So millions of Americans, nearly a third of U.S. households, live in apartments or other multifamily buildings like condos, and that they want to join America's electric vehicle transition. The home charging system was built for single family houses. So we need level 2, 240 volt overnight charging. This is the standard method for charging most EVs, and it's often impractical in multifamily settings due to limited wiring capacity, unassigned parking, or difficulties getting landlords or condo boards to approve, or just access to capital to make the investment. So this is a pinch point that's essential for unlocking mass market EV adoption, especially with a new generation of affordable models emerging in the next year or so.
Yeah, there's the new Nissan Leaf coming out, the new Chevy Bolt. Lots of exciting for the C4 part of the business here. Very exciting built in America EVs that people have access to them. And they may not be the people who are living in single family homes. They'll be maybe one of the 7.5 million, is it, people in California who live in apartments?
Absolutely. It's a big population, 7.5 million. People in multifamily in California, that's the size of the population of 30 states. So this is a large audience, and our research found they want EVs, and charging at home is the big barrier, the biggest barrier, and it's a solvable one.
Yeah. And as I understand it, obviously California leads in EV adoption, and they do have an incentive program in place for apartment charging. But as I understand, it's mostly kind of equity, low-income focused, and there may be some inefficiencies in how that's been rolled out.
That's right. Yeah, the California Energy Commission, governor, and legislature have done a good job in their initial investment in multifamily EV charging. There's a program called REACH. There's another program called Communities in Charge. But there's an opportunity to streamline, to make the programs easier for all landlords, building owners to access capital and improve the process and to put more dollars into the program itself. There's some limitations on income. There's some limitations that say only certain counties that have air quality standards can access the funds. We don't think those barriers are helpful for the cause. We should be making this easy to apply and access the funds. And we have some willing partners. The Energy Commission, the legislature, the governor's office have been all ears, and there's real momentum in California to make some reform and deeper investments.
Yeah, it sounds like the fewer requirements you have, the fewer roadblocks there are to getting things permitted, getting things built out for folks. And we mentioned the new vehicles coming out. There's also between Pando Electric and several companies exploring like different ways of doing multi-unit charging. There's lots of exciting technology that actually does make this a lot cheaper than it may have been to do 10 years ago. That maybe it sounds like the existing incentive programs aren't keeping in mind. But if we consider like some of the data actually showing how much of a pinch point this is, we'll have this visually for folks on YouTube, but we'll annotate it too for audio here. What are some of the like the statistics showing the interest in this? Because it's California. I assume there's a lot of folks who want to drive EVs, but what do the numbers look like?
Sure. Let me share a screen for the YouTube version, and then we'll talk through the findings. We worked with David Binder as a prominent pollster on this research. So we did this research in September, 400 of apartment and condo residents in California. And these are in buildings with six or more units. And this is the only research we found of its kind that's specifically looking at apartment renters and their views on electric vehicles and interest in charging. Let's jump into what we found. Both renters and owners are highly favorable on EVs, at 72% favorable for condo owners, 79% favorable for apartment renters, just on the idea of electric vehicles, which are good numbers. They have favorable views of the rideshare companies and Ford Motor Company. And Tesla's not doing as well compared to Ford and others. When we get into the question about purchasing, are you interested in purchasing an electric vehicle, or are you waiting for the prices to drop? Yeah, only 29% say they'd probably never buy an electric vehicle. Mm-hmm. Most are seriously interested in buying or leasing an EV in the next year or two, or they may buy once the prices are lower and bugs are worked out. So we see most are in the category of, hey, if you can get me a lower price and work out the bugs, which you'll see is really the charging is the big one. They're ready to buy an EV.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. And obviously California would be, you'd think, pro-EV inclined, but it's also, I feel, many of the people represented in the survey probably have friends or family driving an EV. We always talk about this. Like, in the reason you get the S-curve or you get a hockey stick takeoff in certain markets is once people realize, oh, I know someone driving an EV, that it's not just a kind of, it's not this like partisan specific thing. This is a normal like kind of thing I could adopt. And hey, if I'm saving money on gas, that's great. It's almost this kind of snowballing effect that seems to happen. And it looks like from the numbers that's borne out in California.
Absolutely. As soon as you drive an EV, someone who has it, you're moving up into I may buy or I'm seriously interested categories. And once you get into one, you're 80% likely to stay in an EV. That's why it's so important we get the incentives and the charging right to move towards a more rapid adoption. Mm-hmm. So here we go. When we get into what's your primary hesitation about buying an electric vehicle, it's overnight charging is too difficult in condo and apartment buildings. What gives you the most hesitation? It's the overnight EV charging that homeowners put in their garages. It's hard to do if you're in a condo or an apartment building. For renters, that's 57% agree with that. It's 56% for owners. And this is the leading hesitation. It's the biggest pinch point when it comes to renters and condo owners from making the move to an electric vehicle. To a lesser extent, it's worries about range, which is improving as the new models continue to make gains on range. It's charging stations in the area where I live, which again is another area where federal and state funding and programs are making a lot of gains, and the private sector is making quite a bit of investment. concerns about lines and with fast charging stations. And then a very small percent just aren't interested in owning or leasing an EV. That's 21% of condo owners and 24% of renters. So this is still a big market. If we can solve this major hesitation of overnight charging at home, they're ready to make.
Yeah, just to put some context there before we move on, like the fast charging, right, still being an issue, it's in many ways like pretty intimately connected to this kind of idea of the level two charging that so many homeowners are used to, right? Because when people for most of their lives aren't road tripping or living their lives on a day-to-day basis, most I've heard anecdotally with research we have and research elsewhere that what many people value most about an EV is the not having to have this gas station style of routine of I visit my fast charger, particularly in an area like California, where it's great that so many people have EVs, but the lines at the fast chargers, all those stories about not enough build to meet the demand, right? Maybe there was a little bit of build ahead, but right now there's so many EVs people have purchased in anticipation of the tax credits, which just ended federally, that you do have a shortage of fast charging, which leads to tension. And there's so much less friction for anyone who's listening to this, who owns an EV and has home charging, will instantly understand. And it's interesting to see how aware of that both owners and renters are, even prospectively. Like they're doing their research and they're very aware, if I don't have home charging, this may not be for me.
Absolutely. And then when we get to what do you have at home in your condo or apartment, according to this survey, 76 to 80% of multifamily residents in California do not have EV chargers in their buildings. So 76% of condo owners say that, 80% of renters. So that's a big number. They want the charging, they don't have it in the building. And 65% of owners, 70% of renters say they would be more likely to acquire an EV if their building had overnight level two charging. So this is the big pinch point, the big opportunity.
Yeah. And it seems like it's highly correlated, of course, with the people interested in an EV, but it also seems to cross income thresholds as well, right? This is an issue regardless of how much money you make. People like the convenience of having the charging in their garage spot or in their community.
Absolutely. Yeah. For most EV owners, they have home charging, and that's just a big factor. Your time and flexibility, that's better to charge it at home and often lower cost, the cost of the energy.
Yeah, we're talking like a 3 to 4 time scale, depending on obviously California electricity is also expensive, but so is fast charging. And that can make it less economical actually to fast charge an EV than a gas car in many cases, whereas you completely flip that scenario when you charge with level two.
Definitely. And Max, as you mentioned, there's different companies and innovations and ways to offer charging in multifamily. So we got into the details of that. What type of charging would you like? Would you like to have a dedicated charging cable in your parking space that you're the only one that's using it and you can charge your EV anytime you want? Mm-hmm. That was most appealing, where owners found that 61% very useful, renters 64%. Very useful, to really strong interest in that dedicated space, dedicated charging cable. Mm-hmm. To a lesser extent, if your building has a bank of EV chargers and you use an app to reserve times to charge during the day or overnight, so you're guaranteed a charging space when you need one, we see almost a 20% drop in the intensity of the very useful category. Owners say 46%, that's very useful. Renters say 47%. And so I'm just speaking to the intensity numbers. The overall support for these, when you combine the very and somewhat useful back up to the dedicated charging cable and space combined for owners, that's 80% overall support, 81% support for renters to have the dedicated cable. When you get into using the app, still very good numbers. 68% of owners would be happy with the app to reserve time, 75% of renters. In our political work, where Mike Murphy and I come from the political world, we like looking at those intensity numbers. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm focused there. And so the third category of offerings, your building has several chargers and residents take turns using them. Still overall, good numbers, 69% of support for owners, 66% support for renters. but the intensity drops to only 14%, very useful for owners, 17%, very useful for renters. On the intensity scale, everyone, you know, most people, owners, renters, want to have a dedicated cable in their parking space. That's the ideal setup.
Yeah, the convenience wins out there for sure. And as you said, like that's borne out in the intensity where everyone's, of course, somewhat positive on, yeah, I'd love any amenity possible in my community. But when asked what's actually really helpful to you, it's that dedicated cable they want.
Absolutely. And we want to make this a win-win for everybody, for owners, for renters, for the building owners, for the workforce to put this infrastructure in, for taxpayers to get a better return. This question is about, next question is, what would you pay a month for access to a parking space with a level 2 charger? 3 out of 4 residents say they would pay up to $50 a month for a parking space with a level 2 EV charger. So there's some opportunity to cover costs here. And we find on the owners and renters, owners 49% say less than $25, renters 53%.
Yeah, it's significant too, because this is independent of the electricity cost that they're going to be metered for charging their vehicle. This is just for having the luxury of being able to plug in when they want.
Exactly. So we want to make sure that the capital investment is provided through a state grant program, easy to apply, easy to access for the building owners. And then renters can pay for their own electricity. And there's a little bit of a markup that covers the maintenance for the building owner and a little bit of profit in there. So there's some incentive for building owners to want to apply for the grant dollars and put in the infrastructure.
And I'm assuming there'd be some variation, right, depending on who the owner is, their knowledge of their community, and what they'd actually be charging, right? That's a free market type decision being made there.
Yes, there's going to need to be some flexibility in the regulations as they're designed to different companies and interests from apartment owners. We want to make sure we have enough flexibility that people can put in the kind of infrastructure they want and have a fair amount of dollars that can cover maintenance and still have a modest markup, so there's enough incentive to make the investment. And then this next question takes a look at if condo associations and apartment building owners pay the cost of putting in charging in their buildings. And here, overwhelming support that investment should happen.
Yeah, and unsurprisingly, it's a little bit higher in renters still, but still, like, they agree strongly is still, like, not a majority, right, of the renters, and definitely not for the owners in terms of fronting the cost. So even though theoretically we have seen there's been cases where communities maybe have an owner who's excited about EV charging, who realizes economic potential there or just personally cares about it and they do it, it might pencil out. Getting the incentive for people to do it who are on the fence or not educated on the issue does not exist without some kind of state grant.
That's right. So 79% overall support for apartment and condo buildings to put in the EV charging infrastructure. And then we look at, is this one of the most cost-effective things that California can do to increase EV ownership? And 71% of condo owners, 73% of renters agree that this is a wise use of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, so putting that in context, that's like saying, for instance, instead of having a beefier state rebate on the purchase price of the vehicle, given that the vehicles themselves, as we mentioned, right, are getting the higher ranges, they're getting cheaper, I'm sure everyone would love more money off that. But in a world with limited resources, if the state's instead spending money on the convenience and ownership factor that all of these multifamily buildings are going to experience and everyone living in them, people are like, yeah, I'd actually like that money to go towards making sure I can charge my vehicle, as opposed to maybe making it incrementally cheaper, because people really seem to value this convenience.
It's all important. We'd still like to see in California a $3,500 conquest credit for first-time buyers of new or used or leases to be able to access some additional savings when it comes to making that purchase. But the combination is really should go a long way to increasing EV adoption.
Yeah, this low cost, high impact, right? You can imagine how it would pencil out where the cost put into granting a charger for a multi-unit installation is probably impacting a lot more for each dollar than subsidizing an individual vehicle purchase. Wonderful, though, is that might also be for someone getting one.
Absolutely. One other stat from J.D. Power, they found that 68% of EV owners use a permanently mounted level 2 charger at home. So that was a significant stat to us. Their follow-up reporting, so the first one was 2023. In 2024, they found 84% of owners who charge at home use level 2. So this is definitely the preferred dominant method, but we're just limited to single-family homes as the primary home charging. So we've got to crack into apartments and condos at a higher level.
Yeah.
We did take a look at the support for this $3,500 Conquest credit in California, and 69% of renters support it, 59% of condo owners. So there's strong support for having a state level incentive now that the federal incentives have gone away and a number of states are offering them. We think this would be a wise move for California.
For sure. And there have been various versions of that, right, in the past incarnation with California law, with the now HOV program, which was very popular, where people would get the HOV stickers when buying an EV, or they could elect to get, I forget if it was $3,500, but I think we were talking about a multiple thousands of dollar rebate on a vehicle purchase. But both of those benefits people really liked for actually adopting vehicles.
Absolutely. And I'll put in a plug for our partners at Velos. If you go to electricforall.org, you can click on incentives and put in your zip code and see what incentives are available in your state. It's a wonderful resource.
Yeah, we love our friends at Velos.
All right, let me see. What else do we have this year? We've got the shared about support for the credit and for the charging. So just in summary, it's great that in this community, apartment renters, condo owners, 77% view EVs in a favorable light. Apartment renters, condo owners say their biggest hesitation about an EV is access to overnight charging. It's too hard in condos and apartment buildings. And 69% say they'd be more willing to get an EV if their buildings had overnight charging. And 80% of renters and condo owners say they're useful to have a dedicated charging cable in their parking spaces. And then 2/3 of multifamily residents support a $3,500 EV buyer's credit in California. And even higher support, 73% supported a $3,500 buyer's credit for used EVs. Hmm. So a lot of support there for new and used. I'll stop this share. You can go on our website, evsforallamerica.org. And if you click on, as soon as you get on evsforallamerica.org, if you click on new report, you can read through this data in detail. There are more details on the site and more background about our proposed policies.
Yeah, no, we'll link that report. It's a great session of a lot of work of both contracted polling and kind of some insights and policy recommendations from that. That's all great. A few things that kind of prompts to mind here for me are that in California, you have a situation that actually is represented in lots of other communities in the country. Like I can think of New York in DC and so many cities, this multifamily thing issue is a big barrier to people. And to the extent of like in Europe, they have curbside charging. They've come up with solutions for this. In the US, it still feels like we're very early to moving beyond that single family garage model of EV charging. When there's proof internationally, if we look that like it can be done and that there's a demand for it. I think California is telling, and that so many people who don't have EVs would base their buying decision on a new one largely on that convenience of just being able to charge it where they're parking it.
That's right. Yeah, the U.S. Department of Energy estimates about 80% of all EV charging occurs at home. We're wide open to getting the infrastructure, whole range of charging infrastructure out there. But the level 2 at home is really where American EV owners are doing most of their charging. And so we want to make sure that's available in the apartments and condos as well.
Yeah, I was heartened in the data too to see that the owner support was so aligned with the resident support. Of course, it's aided by the fact that you might have state assistance with it and hopefully a streamlined process for actually getting those funds. But I find it interesting given that there's been several research both in the amenity space for like hotels, but also amongst, I believe, like property experts that EV charging as an amenity, once it's added to a community, has a tangible impact on market value. So you're looking at an asset that actually does meaningfully increase that community's, especially if you're talking about an HOA, like a co-ownership situation, you're meaningfully increasing the value of that. And that just pays dividends for the future when you look at a world where even with incentives taken away at a federal level, people are interested in EVs, the lower cost models are coming out, and so many states like California still lead pretty well on the incentives or the buying part of the process. It's just the follow through on like getting this charging to be easy that would be so impactful.
Absolutely. And you know, for building owners, this is more than, we want it to be even more than a very popular amenity. As you mentioned, it's become a top search amenity for hotels, but this also is a way that you can add that amenity without enduring the significant capital costs, and you can recover, you can have charging fees, make it a small recurring income stream. So no cost to you, building owners. You put in something that your tenants and future tenants would like to have, and we see this as a win-win. So we're hoping to hear from more building owners and make connections. We're talking with our research partners. Atlas Public Policy is doing a significant amount of stakeholder outreach, and we plan to publish in partnership with Atlas in December some additional research going to the next level of detail, looking at the current REACH program, communities in charge. We want to understand from building owners, from utilities, from labor, from a whole range of stakeholders, all the companies involved, what's working, what's not about REACH and communities in charge. So definitely get in touch with us if you have an opinion, if you're in California, about the existing programs, what works, what doesn't. If you live outside of California and you're interested in this and you see a best practice happening, please reach out to us at evsforallamerica.org, and we're happy to get your input on how to design the best-in-class program, make it easy to access, and a win for everybody.
That's great. And it sounds like, I just want to iterate from what you emphasized there, right? That would be renters, condo, apartment owners, installers and contractors, the whole chain, right? There's a lot of people involved in this who I'm sure all might have slightly differing perspectives, but they can all reach out.
Exactly.
Great. Thank you so much, Dan, for your time. And this effort's very exciting. Hope to see positive progress in the legislature, in the California political economy. Seems like it's getting good uptake, and that's very encouraging. And I hope to also see more of this across the country.
Here. Thank you, Max. I appreciate you having me on, and continue enjoying your podcast. It's great to partner with you with Directly Current.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. All right. That is everything for Directly Current this week with Dan Krasner. Thanks again to him for joining us, executive director again here at EVs for All America and the American EV Jobs Alliance. Check out the work that we're doing on those fronts with a link in the description to our website, including blog posts, opinion, research articles, content from Mike Murphy, and all that goodness and more. This podcast, Directly Current, is going to go on a bit of an irregular schedule for the remainder of the year, given that we've got Thanksgiving, holidays, all that stuff coming up. However, we do plan to publish at least one more episode, I can't guarantee when, with some very important guests in industry that we have cooking. So look out for that before the end of the year. But again, I'm not exactly sure when I'll see you next. Just stay subscribed in your podcast feed or your YouTube subscription feed to hear more from me and, of course, from all of us at EVs for All America. Stay tuned, again, to Directly Current. I'm your host, Max Patton, and I'll see you sometime before the end of the year.